This week on Unforgotten,
we are discussing a tragic death that occurred in 2019 with a couple who was wrapping up a routine hunting trip.
I'm Hannah, and I'm 26, and my mother was, I mean, she was everything to me, you know.
On August 21st, 2018, David Jr. was involved in a fatal motorcycle accident. Understandably, this was devastating to the whole family.
So David was struggling with that, and she was as well. Then I finally got in touch with one of my aunts, and I told her, you know, that I know what happened. Like, I know that she's gone. Like, what happened?
There were some conflicting details of the account.
Donna's autopsy revealed an undetermined manner of death.
Yeah, she really was a beautiful person inside and out. No one ever made me feel as loved as she did. And, you know, everyone loved her.
Hey everyone, this is Sellers.
And this is Stormy.
And this is Unforgotten,
where each episode will highlight unsolved missing, murdered, and suspicious death cases in Alabama in order to raise awareness and hopefully obtain some answers for victims and their families.
Please remember that any individual referenced in the podcast should be considered innocent until found guilty in a court of law, and any opinions or views expressed in the podcast are solely those of participants. Listener discretion is advised, as some of the content discussed in the podcast may contain violence or graphic descriptions and may not be suitable for all audiences.
And now for episode 40, Donna Duran.
Hey guys, and welcome back. How you doing, Stormy?
I'm doing all right. You know, life is life, but I think it's okay.
It has been beautiful down here.
Actually, it has been for a couple of days here now, too, finally.
Yes, it has been so pretty. I mean, it's still hottish.
Yeah.
But not. It's been nice.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Like, I got up and went Saturday morning and got my oil changed in my car, and it was like, oh, it just felt so nice outside.
Yeah.
It was like in the 70s, which is like my ideal weather temperature.
Yeah.
And it just, there was a breeze and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually pretty nice. I guess it was Saturday. It was really pretty nice here too, like mid 70s. But it wasn't, you know, around here, it gets like probably around 3-ish where the height of the heat is, right?
Yeah.
And, it felt like it got up there like really early in the day, like 11. It was like, so I had gone out to work in the yard and we're making a garden spot and we only had half of the sod up out of there. So I was working on that. I think I almost got the heat stroke. It came in and I was done for the day, like about 1, and I was just like dead.
I can't even keep artificial plants alive. Like, I'm a terrible gardener. So,
well, my daughter's helping with ours because she's got this project. I don't know if I mentioned it before in the podcast, but she's got this what do they call it, where I can't think of what it's called, where the garden like helps itself keep going. I can't think of what the word
is. Self-sustainable.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah. And so all, you know, like there's certain plants for pests, and they help, you know, like they deter it from the other plants, and some attract, you know, certain kinds of bugs that are good for your garden. And then, you know, of course, the regular ones that you can like eat, and medicinal plants, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it's really cool.
I was going to say organic, but I'm like, oh.
I know, that's not what it is in my brain. It's going to pop into my head like in the middle of the podcast. So if I just blurt it out, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's in.
Yeah, there it is.
It's like squirrels chasing squirrels.
Yeah, pretty there much. Yep. Oh, my heavens.
So we had posted on the Alabama Cold Case page the list as it is right now of the names that are going on the t-shirt, just so everybody could kind of go through and confirm the spellings are right, because I remember, I think it was last year's shirt, we had one name that could have been spelled a couple of ways, and we had spelled it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So thankfully somebody caught that. Mm-hmm. So we put that up over the weekend.
we've turned the comments off just so that, you know, no additional names, because we have to do that at some point or it would just go forever.
And when the t-shirt's all done, we can put a new post out or something. Just
probably need to put a new post because we have this list that's going, and then we'll know.
Yeah. It's not like you can't submit a case anymore. We just want to put it on the t-shirt this time. Yeah.
Well, anything that comes in after now will go on next year's.
Yep.
So we're working on the graphic. That takes a little bit of time to get done, but we'll have some kind of design up for you guys to see. And I think we're going to do something a little bit different this year where we kind of do pre-orders on those, because we're actually checking with a couple of different printers here in Alabama
and
getting those printed.
We have kind of as opposed to doing like you too, right?
Yes, I'm super excited.
I am too. Do you want to make that a surprise or you want to share it?
Yeah, let's just wait.
Okay, cool.
Make sure.
So some suspense.
Make sure it's going to work out first.
Yeah.
Don't want to say it's going to happen and then be like, oh, this is not going to happen. So, because it drives me crazy when someone's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. And then it's like crickets and it never happens. Yeah. Like, well, whatever happened to that? Nobody knows.
It was there. Didn't you see it? Just kidding. Just kidding.
Close one up. Then on top of that, we've talked about it a couple of times. Don't forget to sign up for the Voices for Victims 5K that Vocal's doing on June 22nd. If you haven't looked, there are actually three different events that you can sign up. So there's the live chip timed 5K, and then there's actually a 1 mile fun run, and you can bring your dogs and your children to that one, and kids under six are free. And then there's also a virtual 5K. So if you can't actually be there in Montgomery to do the run, you can sign up and do it from wherever you are.
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
And I had no idea when I registered and did the victim sponsorship for Healing that apparently it opened it up. And so we've had a couple of people join our team, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I am so glad that they did.
I got a random email and was like, somebody joined your sponsorship. And I was like, really? That's awesome. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was looking. I think you can actually add a sponsor to it right now. You can select one, but I was just kind of checking the website, but I'm pretty sure you can just add your own. So, you know, if you go in to sign up, play around with it a little bit and make sure that you can add one. And if not, you can always email us. But
yeah, I think it's once you select whatever event you're going to participate in, and you're filling out the stuff, it's actually, there's an option that says something like victim sponsorship. And you just put in the name that you want to sponsor.
I'm sure that's it, yeah.
And so I didn't realize when I did it at the time that it was going to be open it up to like a team thing. But I'm all for it, because the more people that sign up, the more, you know, awareness we're bringing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another little interesting tidbit, I guess, is we were sent a link to a new podcast done on the Brittany Wood case. The name of it, I think, is The Sound of Sirens.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Out of New Orleans. We've talked about them before. They did one on Daniela Vian, but they did one recently on Brittany Wood. And so there were two episodes, one with Chessie, Brittany's mother, and then they did a follow-up discussion between, I think, just them. There's some interesting little tidbits in there.
One, like, bomb, which
I haven't finished the follow-up discussion yet, but one, like, kind of, thing for me was when Chessie said that Donnie was found at 12.
Yeah, which is one of those key things that we had debated about, you know, the inconsistencies before.
Right, because there's no call to 911 until like 2. So if he was actually found at 12, that would explain why Fairhope got a call at 12.
Yeah.
They had that report at 12.
So it is kind of confusing.
Yes. So figure we can listen to that and make some notes. Maybe we can come back and do a discussion on that.
I think that's a great idea.
Compared to the actual documents and things. I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's about it. No, I think that's good, you know? we always have things going on, but we try to keep our page, you know, up to date. And if we think of anything else before the end of the episode, we'll slip it in there.
Yeah, we just blurt it out, ignore it.
Yeah, you know, just like me.
The randomness. No, don't ignore what we're saying, just the randomness.
Yep.
Ha! Permaculture. That's it. At least I got it before we started talking about the case. Phew.
Well, before we move forward, I do want to reiterate here that any individual that we discuss here in the episode is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And to date, no charges in this case today have been brought. So
that feels like a precursor to.
It kind of is. It kind of is. Well, I'll leave it at that. You'll understand probably, you can probably understand why I wanted to emphasize that. Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
I'd like to insert here that Stormy did most of the research and the interviewing and things on this because life has been a little bit hectic over on this end. And so I'm going to be learning a lot with listeners. So
yeah,
when you said that, I was like, this sounds like it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So with that, today we are discussing a tragic death that occurred in 2019 with a couple who was wrapping up a routine hunting trip near Dadeville in Tallapoosa County, Alabama. Tallapoosa County is located in the central eastern portion of Alabama, about 80 miles southeast of Birmingham. And I'm going to just put another precursor in here. There's a lot of geographical direction going on in this little first part. So if you get confused, it's okay, because I get confused too, being from Washington.
Well, I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is a lot of directions here for people who are directionally challenged.
It all really makes sense when you hear it, but just in case. Figured I'm really directionally challenged, geographically directional challenged. So, you know, like I think I've said before, I probably know Alabama better than I know Washington at this point. Anyway, the county is a relatively small county with a 2023 population estimate of 40,677. Its bordering counties are Randolph to the northeast, Chambers to the east, Lee and Macon to the southeast, Elmore to the southwest, Coosa to the west, and Clay to the northwest.
Is it a circle?
It is, yeah. It's pretty, I mean, well, it's not really. The shape of it isn't a circle, but it's kind of like a flower, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, much like last week's case in Talladega, just a hop, skip, and a jump northwest over Clay County, Tallapoosa residents and visitors enjoy parks and trails throughout the county, especially Lake Martin, whose northern shores sit in the county's west side. But our story starts north of Tallapoosa County with a family living in Cleveland, Alabama, in Blount County, north of Birmingham. And I think we're done with the directions here, so sit tight.
Cleveland, Alabama, isn't that also where Christian Boyle?
I believe so. Yeah, I thought about that. I was going to go just double check it, and I forgot to do that, but I believe you're correct.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
So we were fortunate to have our case subject, her daughter Hannah, here to share a bit about our mom and the events that led us here.
I'm Hannah, and I'm 26. And my mother was, I mean, she was everything to me. You know, she was always there for me. And You know, I just couldn't ask for a better mother. I really couldn't.
Donna Ruth Duran was born on September 21st, 1970. She had two sisters and graduated from Fulton Dale High School. Since she was 15 years old, she had loved being a hairstylist. And as she got older, she worked at Lush Design in Gardendale, where she garnered loyal customers and coworkers, many of who considered her a friend.
That smile. You know, walking into the beauty shop, and she would say, "Hey, Miss Sandy." And she'd say, "Going back to the bowl, you know, back to the shampoo room, you know." And she would always smile and always, you know, just upbeat, even if it took a lot of extra effort to be that way. And I saw her once a week, so, you know, you get to know somebody during that time. She was just made of love, because that's what she was.
Donna seemed to be a person who was full of life. You know, one of those people who genuinely loved to help people and always wanted to make sure others were happy. Anna shared a bit about her mama with us.
I can honestly say, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people feel this way about their mother, but I truly believe that she was one of the purest souls on this earth. She was so caring and kind. She would give the shirt off of her back to anyone who needed help, and she was the one that everyone ran to when they needed help or if they needed somebody, you know, and she would always be there. And, you know, even no one's perfect, and she's, you know, she wasn't perfect, but I know that she loved me, and, you know, I could go to her with anything. I mean, she'd tell me, "I don't care what you've done, you know, just come tell me, and I'm here for you. I'll always be on your side." And she really, really was. I could tell that woman anything, and she would still love me. Yeah, she really was a beautiful person inside and out. No one ever made me feel as loved as she did. And, you know, everyone loved her that knew her. She was just so bubbly and outgoing. And, I mean, she could just light up a room. She really, really could. She wasn't afraid, or she was just so brave. She was really always just the one to pipe up and make everyone laugh.
Donna loved the outdoors, especially hunting. And the picture you see in most of the stories about her has a beautiful photo of her. She's got the dark hair and the blonde, you know, just very much like a hairstylist would, I think. But
hey,
it's just a gorgeous picture, I think. And she was in Auburn.
This photo with a roll tie. Mm-hmm. That means Alabama.
Oh, shoot. That's right. Oh, I knew that too, but then I forgot.
You just ruined it.
Oh, shoot. See, I'm not a college football person, and I just don't know.
That's just offensive.
I am so sorry. That was blasphemy. I know it was. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, crap, you're right.
I was reading ahead, and I'm like, wait a second.
Darn,
this is not
so everybody
right.
Everybody out there can laugh at me. That's a good little laugh for now. So, yes, I am sorry. She was an Alabama football fan.
Well, it's okay. I still like hunting.
So, just for those out there, Roll Tide and boo. You can boo.
Boo.
You will see the Roll Tide tag on a couple of her pictures, but specifically the one that I just mentioned.
Oh, yes. Oh, she loved football. I mean, when it was football season, she was all the way out. She'd get all dressed up in all Alabama stuff. And you know, she was the one standing up and hollering louder than everybody else. She was.
Along with her daughter, Hannah, Donna has a son named Chris, who has special needs. Donna just loved her kids immensely. She also married twice, and the last time when Hannah was very young. Along with Hannah and Chris's new stepfather came their new stepbrother, David Jr., named after Donna's new husband, David Wayne Duran, a Birmingham police officer. The five seemed to be building a happy life. David Jr. and Hannah were very close, practically inseparable through their childhood years together, and they held that close relationship into early adulthood.
I have a brother, and that is her son. We have different fathers. His name's Chris. He's a special needs. And then I had another brother who was actually, he wasn't my blood, but I was raised with him. That was my stepfather's son. His name was David. And, you know, we were We were as thick as thieves. I looked up to him more than anything.
On August 21st, 2018, David Jr. was involved in a fatal motorcycle accident. Understandably, this was devastating to the whole family.
In August 2018, he got in a motorcycle wreck on the interstate, and he passed away then from that pretty quickly. He was 22. Yeah, he was the best brother I could ask for. I looked up to him more than anybody, just about. After that, everything kind of went downhill.
Hannah was lost without her brother. And amidst the grief, as often happens with the death of a loved one, there became increased tension between Donna and David. Both were struggling with this loss, but it seemed to build to the point where Hannah often felt like she needed to mediate to try to get them to talk to each other. She felt like David was beginning to hold so much anger that it spilled onto Donna, and he would even mutter derogatory statements about her under his breath.
Well, I know that they were having issues because, like, you know, a few months before that, my brother, so David was struggling with that, and she was as well. I could tell there was a lot more tension between them, and I would try to mediate, you know, and try to, like, get them to come together a little bit, you know, and talk to each other, because I think a lot of it was just miscommunication. But, I mean, the tension was especially strong from him, you know. He had been, you could just tell he was not feeling good or whatever, which I understand that, but he had been mumbling to himself a lot about her, you know, about it. And that was really odd because, you know, he had never been like that before, you know, as far as I know.
Hannah tried to hang out with him more to try to help him cope. And sometimes there was drinking by both to try to deal with the loss. Because we don't want to cause anything disparaging directly with David, we'll leave details out here, but a sequence of events caused friction between him and Hannah, and subsequently between Donna and David, that added to everything else they were going through.
Yeah, and he had just started acting a little odd. He didn't really want nothing to do with her very much. And, you know, I started hanging out with him more because, you know, like, he's raised me, like, that's my dad. You know, I know he just lost his only son, so I wanted to be there for him, you know. I just think that he really snapped because whenever I was, like, you know, hanging out with him and he would drink or whatever, and I'd drink some beer with him too. And, you know, at the time, my boyfriend, you know, we would all hang out and stuff. But I woke up hearing my mom kind of screaming and hollering. And then I saw the hallway light cut on. I was in bed with my boyfriend at the time. And I realized that he was laying on the very edge of the bed. You know, he got out, they started arguing, but I was so out of it that I just kind of went back to sleep. I just couldn't really process that. But the next day, you know, I didn't say anything to her, which I really should have, because it probably would have made things a lot different, you know, now. But instead I went to him, and I called him, and I'm like, hey, you know, what happened last night? And he was like, Hannah, you know, I'd never do that to you. Maybe a few days or a week or so, I was hanging out with him or whatever and talking to him. And he was like, I'm just so sad about David, and I just need someone to hold me. You know, I'm just sad. And he's like, your mama ain't going to. She's going to sleep on the couch. So this David is a very emotionally, he withholds himself. You know, he doesn't normally come out like that, you know. So I was like, you know, you must be really upset. And, you know, it is my dad. So, yeah, I mean, I can hold you. I can hug you while you go to sleep. You know, that's no big deal. It was all kind of normal. I was just trying to, you know, just put my arm on him and just pat him, you know, just tell him that it's okay, you know. And, like, I don't know how long I laid there, maybe an hour. And he wouldn't go to sleep. And I was like, I got to sleep in my room. I can't sleep in here or whatever. And what I hate the most is that I walked right by my mom while she was sleeping on the couch. Whenever I really should have been, I should have told her what happened, you know. But I didn't, because I knew that they were under a lot of stress already and that it would probably make things really, really bad. So
The bickering increased with the couple, and per Hannah, she later found out that there were several alleged infidelities as well by David. Donna had contemplated leaving sometimes, but in the end, she always stayed to try to make things work. And that happens a lot.
It does, yeah. And, you know, I think that a lot of people in that situation feel like they want to do everything they can to try to make it work, especially if you know the circumstances that are making it rough are, you know, mm-hmm. what they are, like a death. It's not like it's something necessarily between the two of them. It's just something, a cloud hovering over the whole right. situation, sort of say. So
they just seemed agitated with each other. She was frustrated with him. And then, you know, he was frustrated with her. Just so, like I said earlier, I would try to like kind of mediate and be like, you know, hey, mama, like he's really sad and he really needs someone to hold him, you know. And then I'd tell him, like, you know, you just need to talk to her. And I found this out way after she had passed away. But apparently she had started to file for divorce. But she decided not to. She actually told the lawyer, like, you know, I'm going to see, I just want things to get better. You know, I just want to see how things play out. And, you know, we're going to go out this weekend and, you know, see how everything goes. And so she never served him anything or went through with it. But.
And that was just before this happened?
Yes. They would get in fights, you know, every once in a while. And, you know, he cheated on her. You know, she thought about leaving a bunch, but I guess, I don't know. I don't know why she never did. I really don't. But she didn't. She always would try to make it work with him.
One thing they would always continue to do together, because they both loved it, was hunting at a place called the Hunting Club, located near Dadeville. And in January 2019, that is what they did. Here is Hannah to describe what she saw before they left for the trip.
Well, I mean, everything was relatively normal. They were both kind of frustrated because, I mean, they usually had a little bit of frustration going on when they were getting ready for stuff. But I was, before they left, while she was packing up in her room, I went in there. And, you know, I don't even know why I said it, but I was like, you know, Mama, don't go. Just don't go. You know, just stay here this weekend and hang out with me. And she was like, Hannah, you know I love hunting. I'm not going to pass it up. You know, I'm going to go. So, you know, they got ready to go. And I don't know what they were agitated with each other about, but I do know that she left the house relatively agitated. You know, she kind of slammed the door and walked out, you know. But, you know, she still told me she loved me and everything. And then they left.
So Hannah said goodbye to her mother, unknowingly for the last time, and the couple left for the hunting club. And here's a bit more about what occurred just hours later.
So it was January 6th. Well, I didn't hear what happened until, man, it had to have been, I mean, 6 o'clock, maybe, at, you know, and they said that it happened at, I think, 11:36 a.m. is whenever she died. And around that time, I don't know, I really can't explain it, but for some reason, I was feeling worried, and I kept trying to call her that morning. And no, she wouldn't answer, you know, and I called her a bunch. And for some reason, I started feeling like something was wrong. I just got so anxious because David wasn't answering and neither was she. And so I went on a binge of, I mean, I called everyone in the family, everyone, all of her friends. I just felt like something was wrong and no one was answering me. And some people were, you know, ignoring me, you know, which I understand now why they were. But I finally got in touch with one of her friends and, I asked him, I said, you know, what do you know if Mama's okay? You know, what's going on? Like, no one's answering me. You know, did something happen? And he kind of choked up a little bit and he said, baby, your mama's dead. And I mean, you know, Then I finally got in touch with one of my aunts, and I told her, you know, that I know what happened. Like, I know that she's gone, like, what happened, you know? And she was pretty upset. She was like, Hannah, you just need to come home. You know, we wanted to tell you when you were here around us. We didn't want you to find out like that, so just come home. So I did. And there was a bunch of people there. Sorry. There was just a sea of cars there. I mean, you know, like I said, so many people loved her. So the house was just there. There had to have been 15 or more cars parked at the front of the house, you know, and it just didn't seem real at all. And then my aunt told me what happened, and she said there was an accident, and, you know, Mama got shot. David was pulling a gun, or putting a gun up, or pulling it out into the truck or something, and she was walking away, and it hit her in the back. But that's all she knew at the time. I know now that that's not what happened. But from what I heard, she died on scene. And the first responder said that she went out praying to God before she slipped away.
I'm sorry. I know that probably is hard to think about.
It is.
This was just under 5 months after the loss of David Jr., which is so devastating for the family.
Right. I can't even imagine.
That's a lot of loss in a very short period mm-hmm. of time.
Yep.
Then adding to all the heartache and confusion, there were some conflicting details of the account. The first accounting of what occurred from David was that Donna was walking away from the truck, and he was pulling the rifle out of the truck, and it went off, accidentally shooting her in the back. But later, we would find out that the shots were to her chest and not her back. And it was discovered that they were both in the truck in the front seat.
Yeah.
Per Hannah, detectives investigated and did tell her at one point that they felt sure this wasn't an accident. They implied to her that they seemed to have enough evidence to bring charges against him. But Hannah states it seemed he obtained a good attorney to fight those charges and was never indicted.
You know, everyone was at the house for a while, and they told me that David wouldn't be home until later because they were holding him and questioning him and stuff. So he did. He ended up coming home kind of late that night. Well, actually, I found out from the investigators, because whenever he came home, you know, I was like, what happened? You know, what happened? And he told me that he was pulling the rifle out or putting it up, and she was walking away from the truck, and it went off, and it hit her in the back. And then, you know, but then I found out later that the bullet went in through her chest, not her back. So he lied about that for whatever reason. And that the firearm went off while they were both in the truck. She was in the front seat. And and I wish that he would have just talked to me about it, you know, because after having investigators, you know, calling me and talking to me and telling me, like, we're going to get him because he's lied about X, Y, and Z, you know, it's just, it does, nothing adds up. So, you know, hearing that, you're like, I mean, what am I supposed to think? And then he won't even speak to me. You know, after that, he just kind of just shut down, I guess.
While there are strong feelings about what occurred and Donna's autopsy revealed an undetermined manner of death, not accidental, it's still to be proven whether there was any foul play involved in her death.
They told me that they were going to get him. You know, they said that they have so much evidence against him that, like, there's just no reason why he shouldn't go down for it. But I guess he just got a really good lawyer. I know that I'm pretty sure he used all of her life insurance on a lawyer. I mean, I wholeheartedly believe if he hadn't have been a police officer, there's no reason why he wouldn't be in jail for it right now, you know? Because he's always been respected in the community and known, and he can pull a poker face really well.
If you could say anything to David right now, if you had the opportunity to say anything to him about what happened with your mom...
If I could, you know, I just want to say, like, I just wish that you would talk to me. You know, I just wish that things didn't have to be this way. And, you know, despite what you may think, I would love nothing more than for you to just talk to me. You know, I don't have hate in my heart. I just want to know what happened truly from your perspective. And I just miss having a family. And even though all of this has happened, despite everything, like, I mean, he's still my dad. And I would love for things to feel kind of normal, you know. I just wish things that didn't turn out the way that they have.
I guess it's the Tallapoosa County Sheriff's is the one that's handling this. And so... is there anything that you would like from them? I mean, I guess mostly just an update, at least to know that they're still looking into it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love nothing more than to know if, you know, justice could still be pursued in any way.
And while we have not heard back from the sheriff's office yet to confirm the case status, we do believe that even though it may not be active, the case is still open. Hannah's plea, as is ours, is to please keep her mom's story out there. It hasn't garnered much attention since shortly after her death. And, you know, we just want to make sure that people realize that this case is still open and unsolved. We ask everyone to share her story. And if you are aware of any details about this case, to just please come forward so that Hannah and those who love Donna will know the real story and that it finally will be revealed. Was this a horrible accident? Maybe just some carelessness during an argument? Or was there more at play?
We wanted to end the episode with some additional memories from Hannah about her mother. Not only the beautiful woman she was inside and out, but what a fun, loving person she was as well.
She loved Halloween. She would always dress up.
Oh gosh. I loved Halloween too. I mean, that's my Christmas actually.
Yeah. Even whenever I was growing up, you know, she always dressed up. She had a bunch of Halloween costumes and she'd show up to work for like a week in a different one every day, you know, and one of, her favorite ones actually was, It's like a pink polka dot dress, and like it's got like a big stuffed butt, like I mean a gigantic butt on it, and it has a little puppy in between the butt cheeks, and she had a little sign that said a lost puppy on it, you know, and she would get all dressed up like an old lady or something, and that was probably my favorite one that she would do. She would always be so goofy.
That's awesome.
I have so many memories that it's hard. I can't even put a lot of them into words. It's just, she was always there.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the memories that you aren't able to kind of convey into words are just feelings. Those are memories too. And those are so special. And they make you remember how loved you still are. So.
I didn't realize how much I depended on her. Just her being around, you know, until she was gone.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, she would want me to be strong and she would just tell me to pull my pants up and just deal with it, you know. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, we do have to do that, but it's okay to not always be strong because sometimes we have to allow that for ourselves. But
yeah, of course.
But then we do usually have to pick up our big girl pants and...
Yeah.
To report tips or information, please contact Tallapoosa County Sheriff's Office at 256-825-4264. Their anonymous tip line at 256-827-2035. Or you can submit tips online at their website. As always, we'll link this information in the episode details. And again, if you are completely averse to contacting law enforcement in any manner, you can go to our website and use our contact form, submit the information anonymously there, and we will get the information where it needs to go. Just remember, if you know something, say something. Since Alabama Cold Case Advocacy's creation, we have dedicated innumerable hours to researching and networking in an effort to provide the largest platform we can to the cases we share. We shoulder all associated expenses with Alabama Cold Case Advocacy out of our own pocket, including the subscription fees for researching and production of the Unforgotten podcast to provide a cost-free avenue for the victims' families of those cases.
We hope you will join in our efforts to raise awareness of Alabama's missing and murdered and support these families who have been forced to carry the immeasurable loss of their loved ones and the fight for answers. If you appreciate our mission and you are inspired to make a donation, your extra support will enable the ACCA to continue our research, share the cold cases, and help those families know that they are also unforgotten.
Unforgotten is an Alabama Cold Case Advocacy podcast recorded in conjunction with Riverside FM, hosted and distributed by Spotify for Podcasters, available on your favorite podcast platform. Intro music for the show was created by Principles of Uncertainty, who also mixed and mastered this episode. Content and production is by Sellers and Stormy. Artwork by Sellers. Credits for music, sound clips, special mentions, and any source referenced in our podcast can be found in each episode's description. We hope you will join us on all the major social media sites and continue to raise awareness of our Alabama cold cases. Until next time, thank you for listening, and remember, justice may be delayed, but the victims and their families remain unforgotten.